Madam Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Steve Hawes, Legislative Counsel's Office. Senate Bill 33 was prepared by the Advisory Committee of the State Land Board and in effect would allow the Division of State Land through an administrative hearing in accordance with the existing Administrative Procedures Act to determine what is called in the bill the issue of navigability for any stream or portion of the stream within the state. If you look at subsection 2 of section 1 on page 2 of the bill, you'll see that the issue of navigability is determined for the purpose of the division performance of its lawful functions, and it's determining whether a stream was navigable in fact on February 14, 1859. The sentence that follows is a restatement of the prevailing court law taken from the case of the Daniel Ball, heard and decided in the last century, which recites the accepted definition, if you will, of the term navigable in fact. The determination here is being made by the state for the purposes of determining its ownership in submerged and submersible lands. Generally, this is a federal question. What the bill purports to do is to allow the state to build up a record, do the research, the investigation, determine the issue in a quasi-judicial proceeding before the division, and from there on, appeals can take it directly into the court.
Senator Meeker, would you like to join Mr. Hawes?
Thank you, Senator Hawes.
Did you hear what Mr. Hawes had to say?
Just the very last portion of it.
Would you like to add anything?
Well, the only comment I would make is that the committee, in discussing the problem of navigability, very quickly came to the conclusion that since it is a fact case, since it is a situation that develops around a very particular situation, we felt that if navigability was going to be settled at all, it must be settled after much deliberation, that it could not be settled simply by passing a law designating a particular point navigable, that it should be done with hearings with appropriate procedures. And it, as a matter of fact, at your recommendation, Senator Brown, using the APA as a method of solving that problem. We have begun or started most of the procedures so that the land board may assert some of their claims on navigability. I'm sure that Mr. Hawes mentioned that one of the conditions of navigability was a meandering of a river, and we have listed the meandering of all the navigable rivers as a beginning point. So it's not as difficult in some cases as it might seem. Proper hearings and use of the APA, I don't see any reason why the land board cannot establish navigability.
Madam Chairman, Hawes, would you take me through a hypothetical situation, for instance, and let me see if I understand what you're saying about this bill.
Okay.
Let me put a premise to you and then you correct me.
Okay.
Might help clear up my problem. The state of Oregon owns or does not own submerged or submersible lands depending upon the question of navigability of the stream. Of course, the private landowner, it's not navigable, owns to the middle of the stream. What you're saying here is that the state, because there's never been a determination of the question of navigability, is now saying that by the passage of this statute, you are going to gather together information that and a backlog of fact data that you may then rely upon and bring cases to the court, question of navigability, to establish state's position with
sir. What we're trying to do here is simply use the same fact-finding capability, the same type of problem you discussed, but allow the division to make an administrative finding on the navigability at the state agency level, subject to judicial review by the court.
May I carry this on, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Then are you saying that if the state determines from the passage of this bill an administrative finding, then it's the duty of the injured or not injured landowner, budding landowner, to bring suit? Is that, in other
I'm
words,
not,
you're
I'm
shifting
not.
The incidents, are you or are you not, of the question of finding fact with the, in the case of navigability to the landowner rather than at the insistence of the state landowner?
I'd say you're correct in a majority of the situations, but I think from the testimony the committee heard when I was present, it would seem that in some cases where there's an obvious question of navigability that has to be decided by a court in the first place, that both parties would seek a declaratory judgment or seek resolution by the court as soon as possible.
Well, then, is it possible, then, to draw a bill which would allow the agreement between both the land board and the abutting landowner, the fact of navigability without transferring the incidence of who brings the suit, which you are going to do in every case, if I understand this correctly?
Well, it's possible to draft such a bill, yes. The problem here is that the question of navigability, or at least, if you will, the ultimate question of ownership is a federal question. And therefore, any decision by even a state court is subject to change by the federal court. What we've tried to do here is give the agency the fact-finding capability and decision-making capability so it doesn't wait upon the federal Corps of Engineers and their findings that they're making now, so that it can initially start the process to solve the problem of ownership in a particular area in the state where they might want to lease for gravel removal or any other purpose.
Well, by my question, you understand the thing I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about what it does to the individual versus the state. And I'm not sure what this bill does to the individual in that respect.
Well, if the individual disagrees with the finding,
with the administrative finding.
With
right.
The administrative finding, then he carries it on through judicial review under the APA.
Okay. But the point is, at the moment, the only way he will disagree is because the state will bring, I suppose, the action.
Right. Mm-hmm. The state would bring the action to get a decision on its rights in a particular part of the stream. Or it may wait until the Corps of Engineers, for instance, makes a finding on the navigability of that stream of portion.
But what you're really doing here, then, is, in fact, you're an administrative finding by the State Land Board. You're forcing the individual, if he wants to protect his position, to bring the suit.
To appeal the administrative finding. Okay. Yes.
Senator
Ivers? True, though, Steve and I would be concerned the same way as Senator Smith, but it really doesn't change the individual's position as it is now. If he really disagrees with it, he has to go into court on his own now to protest
any
determination. So this is just really establishing some facts in advance is all. I don't think it places any undue burden on the riparian owner.
I'm not sure it's undue. I'm just saying that it's a change.
Well, I don't think
it
really is.
I understand.
Yeah.
Going
on, Chairman. Well, I would think, this provided for a person, I assume that the landowner, in many instances, wants that determined because the agency has treated it differently and it's to his benefit to do it, so it can be a proceeded beneficial to the landowner as well. It's not in every case where the state's trying to do something that the state benefits from it. The landowner can benefit from it too, as I understand. I mean, this isn't set up as a procedure for the state in doing something to a landlord. It's a procedure available to the landowner or anybody else, and to their benefit, some of it, I gather. Isn't that am I correct on that?
Senator Brown, if I may respond, when the question of navigability was first brought to the advisory committee, I shared many of the concerns that Senator Smith voiced here. That if we were to provide total power in the hands of the land board to promulgate its own interests or the state's interests, then the private landowner would not be protected. It is possible currently for the land board simply to state, in their opinion, X river is navigable. Then the private landowner would have to go to a federal court to settle the issue. What we're suggesting here is a collection of facts allowing the private landowner the ability at less cost than going to court to argue in a hearing process. And it also establishes the need for the land board to come in with some pretty sound facts before they declare an applicability. Now, if there is something in the bill that doesn't provide enough protection for a prairie owner, perhaps it's possible to do it, and I would hope your committee would do so. But it was not the intent to do that. The intent to allow the most feasible means to the riparian owner and the landlord, as far as that
goes. Mr. Andrews?
I arrived late, Madam Chairman. My apologies. Stayed late in the office and didn't get served so late. But if I can also respond to Senator Smith's question. First,
yes.
I'd like to echo support of Senator Meeker's statement. I think there are two things that are being not given proper emphasis here. One is, at the present time, the land board can just say, this is the head of navigability. That's where we'll collect the money for removal of material. That's where we'll control leasing. This simply provides a system where the landowner gets a chance to express himself. Number two, and I think this is most important, the landowner has no interest unless his title went into that stream. And we have made a very extensive survey of all the streams that were thought to be navigable by the engineers and by the state land board. And we have found that these titles only go to the low water line except on four streams, which by grant was given to the low water line. That's the Willamette, the Umpqua, the Coos, and the Coquille. But in only three instances on the Umpqua in 128 miles were there any titles that went into the body of the stream. So the riparian owner really isn't involved. And this does give some kind of what you might call a fair and equitable approach to making some determinations. Now the state, there's no question about the fact that the state did receive the title to all the beds and banks and navigable waterways. Problem we faced, what was the navigable waterway? We need some kind of a determination, and this is one approach to it. And on this approach, they'll develop historical facts. Was it used in navigational servitude? When, who by, and what were the circumstances? Then they can make a decision, and he still has appeal. So it seems to me that if we're going to do anything about it, there is no other way except this way.
I wonder, maybe Cecil would comment, just because the Corps of Engineers has made some determinations,
yes,
just recently,
right,
upsetting some accepted ideas.
One in your
so you might perhaps comment on this as how this affects that.
Thank you. Responding to Senator Ivers, the engineers, thank you, extended the recognition of navigability on several rivers in Oregon and on one lake, the Lake Oswego, which in those days they called Sucker Lake. They did this for a motive that's not the same as the state. They did it to exercise jurisdiction, because over the recent years, the Corps of Engineers has been called the despoilers of the resource and the failure to be the guardian and act in the conservation of it. And so under the provisions of the 1890 Rivers and Harbors Act, they've extended jurisdiction to extend control. But in doing that, in each instance, they have done a very tremendous research and developed the names of the vessels, the names of the captains, the cargoes they carried, and the points they stopped at. And using that as a basis, because once navigable, forever navigable, they have made these declarations. Now, the state hasn't sought to accept those declarations as the point of navigability, but is going to proceed further to give riparian owners an opportunity to express themselves and be heard. Does that answer your question?
You studied rivers, Cecil. Have you done any studies regarding lake beds?
Very limited, Senator. I'll respond to that. We do have a resolution that treats on that subject. There are about 600 lakes in Oregon. We have checked the 1,500 cadastral sheets of the state of Oregon and found that about 75 lakes, and I use an approximate figure because some of the state was never surveyed by the General Land Office, appear to be navigable. We also have had commitments from the Forest Service to the extent that they would negotiate on some of these lakes that were thought to be navigable, and others we could go to court about if we had a different idea. Right, we do. I said we had this other bill. There's a Supreme Court.
Madam Chair, there's some evil here. I just have
to. Madam Chairman, the state's attempt to assert its rights, which are stated in the law, of all lakes that are meandered are considered to be navigable.
I think you'd find out.
And it took an awful beating from the U.S. Supreme Court case of the Lake Muir County, like Surgeon Lakes, Mud Lake,
right,
and Mount Huron Lake, and I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Mr. Edwards, I know you have mailed out the report of the advisory committee, but I wonder if you could supply to this committee enough so that the senators have the report available.
Madam Chairman, they're supposed to be in our hands on the 19th, and I was down yesterday to check on it, and he said probably it'd be the 23rd. But just quickly as they are in hand, they'll be delivered to this committee, I promise you.
Fine. Thank you. I know you all have other obligations, but for your convenience, we'll turn to Senate Bill 38.
Madam Chairman, this is a very simple bill. I don't know if I'd want to call it that, but it's very simple and straightforward. And in the facts and findings and recommendations that I gave you, it simply outlines the bill and it exempts riparian owners from paying royalty on the sale of dredge spoils deposited on a riparian owner's land when it was removed by the U.S. Corps of Engineers in navigation improvement. Simply what the bill does, and I'll just let Mr. Hawes then go on to the technical explanation, and if you will, excuse me to go to my elections committee meeting. Thank you very much.
Madam Chairman, is that joint meeting?
Yes.
Go to my elections committee meeting.
I will,
too,
Senator Smith.
You asked Senator Smith and I be excused.
Very briefly, he said it pretty much. This is limited to private landowners, and the way it's worded is intended to mean only deposits of dredge spoil on dry upland riparian land. It does not affect any spoil dumped in existing submersible land.
I'm trying to find a bill, Madam Chairman. but I think I know what it's all about. The problem arose when the engineers, with and sometimes without permission, but generally with permission, but in the old days they weren't so careful, deposited dredge spoil from dredging on private land, the upland of private land. The upland owner can do almost anything he chooses to do with that except sell it, build a barn on it, or spread it over his land, or move it around on his land. But if he sells it, then the state collects its royalty. The bill was requested by riparian owners on the Columbia River through their legislative representative, and it seems to have equity on first brush. On the other hand, if I may just discuss both sides of this a little bit.
Yes.
Madam Chairman, it could result in the state losing quite a tremendous amount of money, because some of this extends for this great huge pile that extends for sometimes a quarter of a mile. And I know of instances where two riparian owners are now getting a dollar and a half a yard for this material. They've done and inspected the point, the place, and maybe they should pay the state. I don't know, but we put this in at that particular request, and it was a late bill in the committee.
Questions? Thank you.
I'm William S. Cox, Director of the Division of State Lands. Our division's comments on Senate Bill 33 are in support of that bill. The administrative problems of the question of navigability have been such that upon the division has operated in the past upon the establishment of a core line of navigability. And the Corps of Engineers has established this navigability line for their own particular purposes and administrative purposes. And this may or may not be the line of actual ownership navigability, so that the division has, in many cases, on many navigable rivers, felt that there was an area of no man's land, which was therefore subject to question whether the state owned it or private landowners owned it. As you are aware, Madam Chairman, the advisory committee has studied this matter quite thoroughly, and the division has participated in that study, and we feel, as did the advisory committee, that Senate Bill 33 is a very logical approach to this matter, and support the passage of this bill.
Questions, Mr. Cox? Mr. Cox, has the land board taken a position in regard? Are they aware of this bill, and do the members of the land board have a position in regard to this bill?
Madam Chairman, the land board is aware of the bill. I am not in the position to speak to the land board because I have not had the opportunity to sit down with the newly elected treasurer and discuss this, some of these bills with him in detail, so I cannot speak more.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask Mr. Cox about the I'd like to ask him about the other bill.
I was going to call him back. There are some people who want to testify in favor. Is there anyone else who wanted to testify in favor of this bill? Mr. Kenneth Schramm?
Yes.
name is Kenneth Schramm. I reside at 3407 Southeast Vineyard Road, Milwaukee, Arden. I'm a member of the Arden State Bar. I've been associated with land title problems for the last 27 years in connection with title companies. I'm very much disturbed with the Senate Bill 33, although I have followed and read the proceedings of the interim committees, both the last one and the one preceding that. This matter, as was brought up by Steve Hawes, is a matter of property ownership. It involves as to who owns the bed of certain streams. Now, no one is questioning the navigability of the Columbia or of the Willamette, perhaps as far as Eugene. But as soon as you get above Eugene or you deal with the Santiam, the Clackamas, any of the lesser streams, there has always existed a very severe problem as to whether the state owned the beds or whether the property owned. This can be a very important property right. Many times valuable deposits of gravel are involved. I know the state people take the attitude that the state loses this when the property owner wins, but actually I'd say it's on a court determination. The property owner has always owned it. It is not a matter of loss to the state. It is a matter of who on the day of admission of the state of Oregon became the owner of this under the federal law and the equality of the state, when the federal government passed to the state its sovereign right to the bed of navigable streams. I feel that putting this under an administrative proceeding for the determination of a valuable property right is a very questionable procedure. This, I think, is a matter for a full-fledged court with full jurisdiction over the parties. As title insurers, I know we wouldn't be asked to insure the state, but certainly if it were in reverse, we would never take the position that the determination of this nature was final enough for the purpose of title insurance. Now, title insurance is not generally involved in this problem. The companies have been so concerned over the years with this conflict between the state land board and the private owners that adequate exceptions have always put in. We're chicken in this respect. And so my appearance here is not on behalf of the title companies so much as the protection of real property law and those individual owners who are not aware of this hearing or what is even proposed. I'm sure that you're all acquainted with administrative procedure. It's something short of the court procedure and its notices opportunities. I feel that this bill is so worded that a determination of navigability, which is a determination of the state ownership, would then only be subject to judicial review, and judicial review is a very limited thing when you have an administrative proceeding. I do not think that this would stand up as constitutional. Also, I do not think that the attempt in this act to define the federal rule is of any effect. The question of the test that is applied is a matter of federal law, and this has been established by the state Supreme Court, and it has been established many times by the U.S. Supreme Court. The phrase that has been lifted out of here, out of the Daniel Ball, a very early federal case, is one sentence taken out of the rest of the opinion. In the same paragraph is language that explains and perhaps qualifies. I don't think that this definition would stand as doing anything. I feel that this bill is subject to the possible criticism of a land grab situation. With the element of the administrative proceedings, the notices under the administrative proceedings being somewhat short of what is done in court complaint, whether the landowner who receives one of these notices will
consider it as important as if he were served with proceedings, I think it's unfair to the landowner. And without saying more on this, I would certainly urge that this bill not be passed in its present form. One addition, when Mr. Edwards said that there wasn't a question on many of these rivers like the Umpqua, or let's take the Mullala or the Clackamas, because the tidal stopped at the bank. I would like to correct that in that we have a statute, and it also is a legal interpretation that a description going to a stream or to the road automatically carries to the center. So that point that there is no issue here and that many of these landowners on the smaller rivers have no title to the center, I think is not a sound one. The problem of the Army engineers extending navigability, it is my understanding that they have done this for jurisdiction because of the great accent these days on water skiing and boating. They felt that it's necessary that commerce now has come down into smaller veins. To me, this would in no way change the basic concept of what this was when Oregon was admitted. Either this riverbed went to the state or is not the state. And what the Army engineers do over the years, they changed one way after they declared Lake Oswego a navigable stream. I think they had second thoughts because actually that is in private ownership. I believe that the legislature confirmed the private ownership and they had second thoughts about going into there. I don't think that this Army engineer extension has any bearing whatsoever on a particular problem. I thank you very much.
You indicated that you felt it shouldn't be passed in its present form. Did you mean that you were going to suggest some amendments?
No, I feel that it, in its form, and it's basically a form of an adjudication of title, it would have to be very radically changed. Mr. Hawes made some mention of it being a way to amass and collect records. Well, if that were the purpose of the bill, that would be fine, but he admitted on question here that this is something further. It's an administrative determination of an issue. And to me, that issue is one thing, ownership of a piece of real property. So it would have to be very radically changed if this were going to merely be sort of a preliminary or raise a presumption or be something to collect evidence. I don't feel this bill is in any way going to be beneficial to the private owner. It's merely going to put him right on the spot of having to know his rights and getting counsel and getting right in, or on an administrative hearing, he'll lose the thing. And this, to me, is where the state is going to be the judge, jury, and one of the parties. It would be comparable to permitting the state veterans to foreclose their own mortgages by administrative proceeding. I mean, this, to me, is hardened to legal concepts. I just feel very much opposed to this bill, and not on the ground it's going to hurt the title companies, but it does violence to real property law and private ownership.
Question
for
Mr. Schramm,
Senator Ivins. I'm wondering, Mr. Schramm, are you employed by a title company now, or are
yes,
you,
I'm
you're
counsel for Transamerica Title, but I'm speaking here largely personal. I'd say we have over the years very carefully avoided, by exceptions, putting ourselves, now we may have unknowingly in some cases, but putting ourselves in any position to have insured the beds of these streams that we have felt the state for many, many years has had its eye on and has been having some controversy over.
Thank
you.
Ms. Swift, did you have a question? Thank you, Mr. Mr. Allison?
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Stanton Allison. I'm an attorney at law residing at 2444 Southwest Broadway Drive in Portland. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Land Title Association. I'm the executive secretary and treasurer of that organization. As opposed to Senate Bill 33, I can, I think, add very little to what Mr. Schramm has said on this problem. I feel, of course, that the State Division of Lands has, in one sense, recognized the problem here in the sense that they say that they would base their determination as of February 14, 1859, the date of the admission of Oregon to statehood, at which time, of course, the to my mind, the matter of the ownership of these properties that we're talking about as of that date was determined on the basis of the Admission Act. And, of course, as I say, I think that's more or less recognized in this legislation. We're talking, of course, about the ownership of property under the beds of the non-navigable streams, which, as admitted here, extends to the thread of the stream, if it isn't, in fact, non-navigable. And my position is that this is a concept which theoretically was adopted at the time of the admission of the state, because that is the time that the government determined the state of, if I can read a line or two where it says it better than I could. In U.S. versus Oregon, which is one of the deciding cases, the United States Supreme Court emphasized that the title to the beds of non-navigable streams and rivers within the state remains in the United States or in those persons who have received title from the United States. So what we're talking about here are people who received title from the United States based upon the fact that the determination was made as of this date of the admission that this was a non-navigable stream and these rights accrued as of that time, and that, I think, has been the approach of the court since. So if in fact, judicially, one way or the other, a stream which was granted by the government as a non-navigable stream and giving the ownership of the middle of that stream to the adjoining the owner of the bank, if in fact by some way it's determined that the determination at that time in 59 was wrong and that this was in fact a navigable stream, the effect of that as a practical matter, I take it, would be to deprive this person of what might be a very valuable property right for gravel and so on. I disagree with the interpretation that apparently was put on here by the spokesman for the division as the effect of this thing. I take it this is, from the wording of the bill, more than a simple fact-finding investigation of what might have been the situation in 1959 when this thing had to be determined. It says here, issue of navigability means whether a stream was navigable on February 14, 59. That is the question. And then it says that the division may determine the issue of navigability of such stream. So this says that Division of State Lands by administrative procedure can determine that in fact on this date this stream was not navigable. That's the way I read this thing. And so what that means is that they can make a administrative determination that the person who since 59 up to now has been the record owner of property under a river is not the owner. He loses his ownership by an administrative fiat. Now, I also question, and I admit I'm probably not competent to talk about administrative procedure, but regardless of the constitutional question here, is this a matter of in the first instance, as federal law, and federal determination of these rights upon the granting of property to these individuals along streams, I question whether, if my interpretation of what this bill says is right, they can make a determination of fact as to ownership of certain property in 59, whether the Administrative Procedures Act actually goes that far. Section 183.410, everything before that has to do with rules, which are not pertinent here. On petition, an agency may issue a declaratory ruling with respect to the applicability of facts of any rule or statute enforceable by it. Now, that's the meat, to me, that's the meat of the Administrative Procedures Act, that they have a right to issue rulings on matters that are properly within the scope of the agency. I don't think it's within the scope of the Division of State Land to determine the ownership of lands as of 1859 when this thing was due. It isn't a matter of statute. The Oregon statute in this case, which is determinative, is ORS 93.310. When a road or stream of water not navigable is the boundary, the rights of the grantor to the middle of the road or the thread of the stream are included in the conveyance. We do have statutory rule that if you have the property adjoining a non-navigable stream, you get a deed to it. That deed covers your title to the middle of the stream. That is a statute, and as I say, I certainly claim no expertise in administrative procedures, but I do think there's a question as to how far the administrative agency can go by this act in determining and taking away property owned by an individual, and that's what we're talking about here.
Sure.
Senator Smith.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Allison, do you agree with the statement made that the State Land Board can now determine the question of navigability without this bill?
I don't think that they, I think the question of navigability has to be if it is questioned by somebody, an interested party, whether it's an individual or the state, I take it that the issue of navigability certainly has always been an interpretation of the federal's law and that applicable to the situation when this state was admitted. Federal law and the interpretations by our own Supreme Court have laid down those principles.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter, Mr. Ellison, whether the State Land Board had this right or didn't have it, because it's, as you point out, a matter of federal law determined by the courts.
Reason on that. If this act passes, certainly I take it under the wording of this, the state division of lands would have the power to do what we're talking about until somebody put it into court, and the court would say you do not have the power, and the act is not constitutional.
Well,
they would have it if this act passed.
That was my original contention until these people made the statement that they already have the right to designate, in their limitation, of course, subject to federal court, the question of navigability. Whether or not they have this bill
senator,
now that's what I'm trying to get at. You disagree with that.
I'm not trying to add to any confusion here, but when we're talking much of what the state land board has been talking about in the past as to what they can do has to do with the items which have to do with the use of the stream rather than the title of the property under the stream. And I don't believe I've seen a statement that the state land board has taken upon itself to determine the ownership of property under the stream. Where those questions have come out, the only way I know it's ever been done up to this time has been by an action in the court, federal or state. I don't know whether they've ever tried to do it. I'm just
thank you, Mr. Allen.
Thank you.
Did anybody have any further testimony on Senator 33?
Mr. Cox comes back. I have a question on Senate Bill 33, but Madam Chairman, but I'll wait until he comes back.
Judge Branchfield, are you able to advise us that the governor's office has examined this bill?
The governor's office is generally familiar with most of these bills that have come in from that committee, and the governor does approve this bill, yes.
Then let's turn to Senate Bill 38, and was there anyone who wanted to testify on Senate Bill 38? Will you come up, please? Oh, Mr. Goss?
Yes, I did.
Yes. I believe Senator Smith had a question for you on Senate Bill 33 first.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Bill, what clarify for me, if you will, the one contention that the state land board has the right now, without passage of this bill, to declare navigability of a stream subject to determination by court. Is that true?
Well, I think we have to determine first, or speak specifically to what we mean by declaring navigability. Number one, I don't believe that the state land board has the power to determine property titles.
I agree.
Even perhaps administratively, even with this particular bill. So
I hope not.
But I believe that the state land board has the right to make a statement as to what they feel they own.
And you've done that in the case of navigability of streams, I assume.
Well, we have not. This bill, after discussion with the advisory committee, was to give us some support and effort in accomplishing this.
Then you haven't done that in the past.
We have not.
You've never asserted your right in a question.
Oh, we have in isolated instances, yes.
Okay, so you do have the right to deal with that.
What the bill is an effort to, instead of making this just a plain, flat statement without any public input of where the division of the state feels that they own, it's designed to allow the public to participate, allow us as a state to benefit by this participation. Many times, members of the public, the private riparian owners along the waterway, have information which would be a deciding factor one way or another as to whether a particular stream is navigable or not, historic information. Many times the issue could be decided, if we had this information available, could be decided to the satisfaction of both the state and the individual owner without going into a lengthy court process, just by the informational that's available. So this is designed, as I understand it, to equate all of this together. And then if we get into a dispute, which there will be some, where an individual owner feels that he owns it and the state feels that they own it, this could come anyway. But it's designed perhaps, and the attorneys are better judges of this than I am, to allow a court to look over the record that has been built by a formal administrative proceeding and use that along with other evidence as a basis of deciding deciding whether the thing was done correctly or not.
Well, at this time, then, don't you have the right to talk with the riparian landowners and the determination of property rights?
I believe the division does have this right, as where they feel that they own the land. Yes, I think the bill is again is a by the advisory committee to call attention to this that needs to be done, and to assist us in putting it into a form of law that we can point to and point to the administrative process for doing it.
Well, then, just one more question, Madam Chairman. Would you see this being used as a tool for the State Land Board to press the question of property rights to either mediation by an administrative procedure or into the court?
I'm not sure I can exactly answer your question, Senator. I believe perhaps it would be if the state has an issue in a given stretch of stream, which is in this no man's land that I mentioned, and they go out and hold a hearing on it and call attention to the facts, they have, by this avenue, made a statement that they claim it, then I believe that the private owner has a certain responsibility or to come in either into the hearing or into court, and if he feels that the state's wrong, to make a positive assertion on his side.
Then you are going to use it as a tool to determine property rights.
Well, I don't think we'd make any determination. I can go out and claim a given section of land as a private individual, and that's all it is my claim. The state goes out and does the same thing. They serve notice, and that's their claim. It doesn't change the property title at all, because the next-door neighbor can claim it on his side, and there they are.
Then why do you need this bill?
Part of this is the fact that we need to... I think the legislature felt that this job should be done, and they wanted to call attention to the fact that it needed to be done, and they wanted to call attention to the fact that the division should be out doing it. And they also wanted to assist the division with a means of direction of how to do it. In other words, make sure that the division does the administrative work according to proper procedure in finding this information, and just not going off arbitrarily and pulling facts out of a hat and here's the determination.
Senator Ivers?
I think maybe a little clarification. I don't think that, at least I didn't intend to make the statement that the State Land Board had the right to determine title now.
Well, you did.
What I think,
Edwards did.
Well, I think what he meant was, the impression I got, that the state now has the right to do certain things, such as denial of a permit or granting a permit or trying to charge royalty for removal, which triggers the individual owner into going into court. I think this is what we're talking about, that this setting up the provisions of this did not put any additional burden on the private landowner about going into court. He still had this as a result of any action that the state could take now. That was my idea of it.
Well, you see, my only point, Madam Chairman, is that with the passage of this, the landowner is going to be either forced to mediation or court test immediately, because the pressure is going to be on. This would be a tool of State Land Board. I'm not saying that's wrong,
yeah,
particularly, but I am saying that he's going to be pressed because of this to mediation through the administrative procedure situation, which will bring him together point blank. In other words, he's going to be told, you either settle in the court or we settle it here.
Yeah. Well, I see that, but
yeah.
I get it. The idea is that it was already triggered, and that this is really putting restrictions by making the land board follow the Administrative Procedure Act that is really helping the landowner. That's the way I look at it.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Cox. I gather that what you just said to me before the meeting, that you probably are going to propose some amendments to Senate Bill 38 rather testify on that later, is that right?
Well, Madam Chairman, I felt that Senate Bill 38 was, the division had some questions as to the intent and meaning behind it. They understood part of it, but they had some questions as to another part, and that's why.
Do you wish to go forward with that now?
I would like to at least propose for the committee's observation here, the what the division is concerned about,
yes.
If I may, and then
please
we
do.
Just very briefly, Senate Bill 38 deals with the right of the division to for royalty of state-owned material taken out of the beds of navigable waterways and placed upon private land. Now, it seems to me, from what I've heard some discussions that have gone on before, that the concern here is the Corps of Engineers placing dredge spoil material on private upland without the private landowner's permission. To the all information available in the division and discussions with the Corps of Engineers indicates that they cannot place material on upland without the private landowner's permission. They can, however, conceivably under the navigational servitude law, place material below the upland along the waterways, waterway banks, the submersible lands, without the landowner's permission. This particular bill deals with the upland only. And it's one of the problems here, and the division would like to point to this committee and would also like to at a later time submit an amendment, deals with trying to avoid speculation in royalty material. As Cecil Edward points out, there are opportunities for the private landowner to obtain as much as $1.50 a cubic yard for selling this material. The material is taken out of the waterway at public expense and generally placed on his land without any expense to the landowner. The clause that this amendment changes is the clause that if it is the clause dealing with whether or not the material is used as an article of commerce. The material is placed on the individual's land for landfill, for land reclamation, it's his as long as he uses it for that purpose. If it's used as an article of commerce, then and he sells it for a profit, then the division can exact the royalty payment. What the division would like to point out is to avoid the land speculation, the royalty speculation situation, where the private landowner invites the Corps to fill his piece of property if he's in the right location, in the right place, and then he can turn around and sell it for a profit. And the division does recognize, and that's why you see my note on in the support of the bill, that there is this situation arising where if material has been placed on a private upland owner's land, according to law, as a landfill for a certain period of time, after a period of time, this material becomes more and more his. He builds his house on it, creates his farm on it, and the rest of it. So perhaps, pursuant to an amendment, there might be a situation here where we could change this, if the committee desires to do so, to allow the private landowner, after a period of time, to claim the material as his own. What we'd like to do is avoid the immediate speculation situation. And we'd also like to avoid the situation which the division is currently working with the Corps of Engineers to create definite material dredge spoil locations up and down the Columbia River as an example, so that the Corps will use these locations constantly. Some of them are going to be on state land and a few on private land, and we would like to be able to enter into an agreement with a private landowner who allows his land to be used for this purpose, a continuing agreement that could last a number of years for the sale of dredge spoil off his land where he can make a profit and so can we. And this is why I do not have an amendment with me at this particular moment. It's kind of hard to word so that it comes out with the proper meaning. That's the end of my comments.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. Mr. Kennedy, are you able to advise us if the treasurer has had an opportunity to examine Senate Bill 33 and 38 and whether he has any position on either bill?
Madam Chairman, the Treasurer has examined both bills. We'll have an opportunity to testify personally at